So when I married Lana all those years ago, I didn't realize that she had this hidden secret about Afrikaans music. What a blessing. And then I didn't realize when she was going to make that announcement and play that little sound clip that some people were going to get so excited. Oh, glory. And it's slowly getting out of hand, yeah, this morning. Okay. Afrikaans is the heavenly language. It's just a joke. It's just a joke. Right. So in 2017, I had the awesome, awesome privilege of traveling to India. I have some friends that minister there, and you've heard the story before. They minister to children, and they also minister to people that work with children. So they train children's ministry people, and they work with people that children that have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. You wouldn't believe, but there's places in this world where they don't know Jesus. If you walked in and said, "Do you know Jesus?" in the towns where they go, the people say, "Well, did he used to live here?" Maybe ask somebody else that's been in the village longer than me. They might know who Jesus is. But that first slide, if we can just go back, that was the team that I was working with while I was over there in India. And this is Adrian on the left here. And that's some of the people that he's training up. The guy on the far right with a red shirt. I spent many hours on the back of a motorbike visiting people and praying for them. It was quite an experience. But there was this opportunity we had to go to one of these villages where they were going to proclaim Jesus Christ for the very first time. So we were in a place called Chennai. Chennai is one of the biggest cities in the south of India, and we had to get to this little remote place. And it was a car ride of over an hour and a half to get to the station. Then it was a ride on a train that seemed almost indefinite. Okay, just go back. Is there a picture of the train? And while we were on the train, this guy was selling water. This is one of the water sellers, and it was hot. It was a hot day. It wasn't sunny, but it was one of those humid days where you just feel hot and sticky. And then we got off the train, and it was another car ride to get to our destination. Eventually, we arrived. I was totally finished. The water hadn't tasted great ever in India, and on this occasion it hadn't tasted great either. And then we got to our destination, and we were greeted by the local church. And out of the goodness of their heart, they came with these two coconuts, with coconut water, and they gave them to us as the honored guests. And I gulped down that coconut water, because it wasn't real water from India. And it was gone in a matter of moments. Now, Lana's shared something about herself this morning. She's been vulnerable. Let me be vulnerable as well. If there's one thing I don't like, it's coconut. I don't get excited about lamingtons or hedgehogs, I think they're called, those pink things with a, I don't know what those are, coconut ice, oh glory. So I love my mom's crunchies. That's because the coconut is hiding. But if it's not hiding, it's a bit of a tough one. So that's the truth. Oh, cocoa pine. What the heck, you're killing the pineapple with coconut. Goodness, just leave the two apart. Anyway. And so I finished this coconut water, and I'm like, oh, that was great. And the host, very, very observant guy, notices that it's gone, and he gives me a second one. And it was a real great gesture on his part. But let me just tell you, that second coconut water was one of the hardest things I ever had to drink. I couldn't say no thanks. I just couldn't do it. Have you ever been so thirsty? Have you ever been really thirsty? Have you ever needed something to drink so very badly? That was my experience on that day. And I remember that coconut milk, that first one, just going down and quenching my thirst. When we have a thirst, we need to meet that need that we have. We need to drink something. A person can only go about 3 days without anything to drink. There are exceptions to that, of course, but that's the average. And we only go just a couple of hours without something to drink. And then we need something to drink. Thirst is a sign to drink. And Jesus spoke about thirsty in his word. In John 7, 37 to 39, we read this. On the last and the greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Scripture starts with that opening line, on the last and greatest day of the festival. So what happens over here is that there were three festivals that were really important in the Jewish calendar. The Festival of Tabernacles is one of them. There was the Festival of Passover and the Festival of Pentecost. All three of these festivals required that men travel to Jerusalem to celebrate. And this was a really big deal, this festival. And that is at the point where he stands up during this festival. It was one of the most joyous of the three festivals. And it's a time when the Jewish people would remember back to God's provision of them when they were in the wilderness. Remember, they were there for 40 years. They wandered in the wilderness and God provided for them. He kept them fed. He gave them manna and quail. He gave them water. And their clothes didn't wear out. And that was 40 years of goodness in a difficult place. And this is what the Feast of Tabernacles was all about. It was a seven-day festival saying, "Thank you, God, that you were good to us." At the beginning of chapter 7, the stage is set in this way. So I was reading halfway through the book of John 7, but what happens in the beginning? "But when the Jewish Festival of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, 'Leave Galilee, go to Judea, so that your disciples there may see the works you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world.'" So they're quite keen that he go and do some miracles and become a well-known public figure. They've seen what he can do, and they want him now to show himself to the rest of the world. And he's saying, "Look, it's not my time." He doesn't actually go. He refuses to go at this point. But then later on, he secretly slips out and goes. And that's where we pick up the story later on, where he says, "I'm the water." The text then says, on the last day of the festival, the great day. Now the festival is 7 days long, and the last day is actually when they talk about water. They talk about water at this point in the festival. The priest would have a golden jug. He would go to the pool of Siloam. That's mentioned in Scripture a few times. Then he'd take a jug of water. Then he'd go back to the temple, and he'd pour the water into a bowl, and then he would pray that God would send rain. And so Jesus says this, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink," at this point in the festival. It's the point when they're talking about water. This is not an accident. This is a well-timed moment in Jesus' ministry. He wants people to take note of what he's saying. "Whoever believes in me, rivers of living water will flow from within them." You can see the symbolism that he's picking up on here. But he says, "Let anyone who is thirsty," who can come? Who is he talking to? Who is he inviting? Well, it's everyone. Not a select few or a couple of folk. Everyone. Everyone who's thirsty. The answer to thirsty is to go to Jesus Christ. The gift of water is free to anyone that will drink it. There's no mention of you having to do anything to get this water. You don't have to run out, grab a bucket, go to a well, hoist up a bucket of water, and then drink it. You simply turn to Christ and drink. Anyone who is thirsty is invited. And we know that Jesus is speaking about spiritual thirst. look, they're in a dry and arid place as it is. And people know what thirsty is all about, but he's not talking about a physical thirst that people might have. He's talking about a spiritual thirst, a thirst of the soul. When you go without water, your body gets thirsty, but when you go without God, your soul gets thirsty. Your body is made to live on water, and you can live a very long time just on water. Now somebody's going to say, but Etiquette municipal water. Look, let's not be ugly. But your body can live on water for quite a long time. Your soul is made to live on God. It's the most important thing we need to know about ourselves. We were made to live on God. The part of us that is more than just a body, if it doesn't drink from the greatness and wisdom and power and goodness and justice and holiness and love of God, it will die of thirst. So who can come? Anyone, everyone who is thirsty. The water that Jesus offers is satisfying. Remember what Jesus said to the Samaritan woman when he meets her at the well. He says in John 6, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Our souls will never be thirsty if we believe in him. Do we quench our thirst from the water of life? Sadly, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we have a thirst, a spiritual thirst, and we look for an answer in a different place. And at first it might feel okay, but then it can feel not okay. A little bit like that coconut water. The first one, great. We go back again to that place that's not God's spiritual nourishment, and then it's not so great. And eventually it's like long teeth. I can tell you, it's real. And it's true of our spiritual lives and our spiritual thirst. We need to go to God. If we go somewhere else, we're not going to find that our thirst is quenched. We can try different places, but we won't find the real solution. We can only be saved. We can only have our thirst quenched by the water of life. So who can come? All who are thirsty. Then Jesus says that the thirsty must drink. Come to drink. He said that, come to me and drink. So it's more than just, I know I'm thirsty, but when I know I'm thirsty, I need to drink. Remember John 6:35, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. He's the bread of life. We won't be hungry if we go to him. He's the water of life. We won't be thirsty if we go to him. The ache in our hearts is at the root. It's an ache for Jesus Christ. When we first meet Christ, we're fulfilling that need our thirsty hearts have to be connected to the Savior, the Creator, again. This is how our souls live in God. Our souls live in Jesus Christ. We don't do this drinking with our mouths, but we do this with our souls. And how do we actually do it? Oh, I'm jumping ahead of myself. We do a spiritual thing here. Remember Psalm 23. What a beautiful psalm, and you'll know it when I read it. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He quenches my thirst. He restores my soul. God is in the business of sorting out our souls for a very, very long time. It didn't just suddenly happen with Jesus Christ. God has been doing this since the very beginning. So how do we come? The way we become is that we believe. We come to him as we believe. Remember in verse 37 and 38, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me. So we believe. That is how we drink. If you can only live for about 3 days without water, I'm wondering how long our souls can live without believing, without drinking from Jesus Christ. I'm guessing not very long. Jesus tells us here that we must go to him and drink, and drinking is believing. We need to drink often. and we need to drink deep of the water of life. It's not something we do once off. We don't become a Christian and drink and we are quenched and then that's it. But we continually go back to Him. We find the well or the oasis. We go there and we drink and we stay there and we drink of Him. The oasis eventually follows us around. We are with the oasis. All who are thirsty must come and drink, and those who come and drink have the promise of rivers of living water. What an incredible promise. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. So not only do we drink and have our thirst quenched, but now, whatever it is, and we'll get to that in a moment, now this is coming out of us. We become the source of water in other people's lives. He says this to the Samaritan woman in John 4. Jesus answered, "Anyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." What a beautiful scripture. All of these scriptures pointing out the gift that we receive, the blessing that we have. We don't just go have our thirst quenched and then go sit on a couch somewhere. No, no, we go, we have our thirst quenched, and then I don't know what spiritually you look like as a fountain of spiritual water, but it must be quite incredible if we could see what that looks like. What does that look like, this water of life flowing from us all? It would be a beautiful picture if we could see into the spiritual realm. Jesus and the river of life will flow because the river maker is now in you. The one who is the water of life lives within us. You'll never need to search again for the source of the river of life. The river of life goes with us, and He never leaves us. God provided for the people of Israel in the desert, and that's what they were celebrating at the Feast of Tabernacles. But the quench that they... The quench that they thirsted. The thirst that was quenched was temporary. They kept having to say, "We want water, we want water, we want water." But here, Jesus stands up on this last day and He says, "I'm the water of life." And we realize that the thirst that is quenched till eternity. And then the author helps us a little bit to understand what this is, this water of life that wells up within us. John 7:39. "By this He meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in Him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified." So that is the what wells up within us and what overflows. That is what people see and experience as we have our thirst quenched, and as we overflow, it's the Holy Spirit within us, living within us, that other people experience and see. We must remember that as we are thirsty and as we drink, it is not only for our own good. You know, when the scripture says all, who can come? Everyone. All. There's not a short list that we attach, or we should attach to that, going all except. All except the guy that revs his motorbike at 6 o'clock on Sunday morning. All except the person who starts his petrol generator by your window because there's load shedding. Praise the Lord, that hasn't happened for a long time. All except the person in the family that makes those off-color jokes about Jesus Christ. Christ doesn't have a list. Who can come? Everyone. And you know what the surprising thing? I've noticed this in my life. Somebody was saying, as you get older. I feel like I might be getting older, but not that old, as he was using the picture. But as I get older, I realize that some of the most unlikely people that I think are going to find Christ are the very people that God works in their lives. And I think it's kind of to surprise us, to show us that he is still all-powerful, that he still works in miraculous ways. So don't have a list attached to who the water of life is going to flow into. That's our thing, not God's thing. Jesus came to change us that we would be a blessing to others, that we would have living water flowing from us into the life of those around us. He speaks about the promise at the Festival of Tabernacles, and this promise is fulfilled when the Holy Spirit is poured out at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit comes upon his church. Rivers of living water flow from within us into a very thirsty world. So last week when I decided this was going to be my text for today, I did not realize that on Thursday I would get a nice cold, and on Sunday I'd have this really cool voice for you all to listen to. I just didn't know that. And I didn't realize that the person that needs flowing would be me. And so I'm really pleased that Christ laid the scripture on my heart, because I was able to draw strength for a lot of this week from this scripture, knowing that I was thirsty and I needed to drink. But this is a word for us for now. Many people are thirsty. Many people are thirsty. We live in a world that is really in turmoil. And as you sit here, I know that there are people here that are thirsty in different ways. But our spiritual lives are stretched. They're attacked. They're sometimes thin. They're sometimes disconnected. And I know that there are people here today that are thirsty. And I'm going to pray that God would quench that thirst. And I'm going to ask you, as I start to pray, if you would be bold, if you feel you want God to quench the thirst that you have, that you will stand up as a sign to God that I want my life to be quenched. I want my soul to be quenched.